What a game.
Wow.
That was big league.
That was definitely an awesome game to go to. I applaud all the fans who made the trip to Pittsburgh.
I thought you were making fun of them on Twitter for not being
at times. You were bitter. They were sleepy. And I thought they could have done a little bit better job getting up. I mean, there was no one there. Moved down to the front cheer. But for the most part, a lot of fans showed up. It was awesome. Let's talk about the game a little bit.
Let's talk about this game a lot.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Yeah. So let's break it down. First half, Mason
took an early lead.
Yeah, Mason looks good. We're up 35-30. We're not doing anything too bad or really good. We're just kind of, you know,
right. The only thing they were doing, like, well, not the only thing. One of the things we were doing really well was we shot very well from the free throw line. I think at one point we were 14 of 14 in the first half from the free throw line. And that continued on throughout the rest of the game. I do think, though, that we let them shoot too many threes early on. They actually came back. We had a 10-point lead.
But like Paulson said in the presser afterwards, they made a lot of their threes, at least in the second half, on desperation throws with, you know, time running out. They chucked it up. They made it. That was a bit lucky. But so conversely, so 35-30 in the first half for us. Fordham outscores us 35-30 in the second half. So a complete flip. We came out a little flat. We had a little bit of a scoring drought. We just weren't making anything, or we were fouling, or we were turning the ball over. So they had, you know, they made adjustments. They executed quite well. And then let's
hit their shots. Yeah. I think that's the biggest point that you made earlier, was just that they came out shooting. That guy Hawkins made some threes with contested threes from deep beyond the three-point line.
Sure.
And I saw, you know, at times teams hit threes against us.
What was the point where it kind of switched? So we kind of held the lead up until what? About like 4 or 5 minutes left, and then it kind of tied, and then the tide changed. Right. It favored them. And then they were like suddenly up 5-7 points with, you know, under 3 minutes to go. And really, the pressure was on us.
A lot of situational basketball went down in that last minute or 2 minutes that you think it takes forever to accomplish. But if you just stick to the script, and it's clear you practice that stuff all season long for situations like that. And I thought we executed. We stayed patient. We weren't rushed.
We weren't chucking up threes. We were actually still going after two. You know,
fouling appropriately. We showed some ball pressure. It really did look like we were poised to be in that situation. I thought our team handled it very well.
And it's strategically a game of chess at the end. I mean, it really comes down to your coaching and what plays you want to run and deciding whether to go for this or that and using your player strengths. Towards the end, I felt we were done. I think even the coach said we were done. I was looking over at you. You were looking over at me. You know, we had just spent 4 hours in the car getting up here, and I was already thinking about, wow, well, that was a waste.
Are we going to ditch our Airbnb money and just head back to
Zippy.
D.C.?
No. But, you know, and so what was the final? It was like 35 seconds left, and we were down 7.
Down
right?
7, yeah.
And so what happens? You know, we get to the line, we continue to score points.
We send them to the line, they miss free throws.
Right, we do some fouling, we're hitting our threes. I think we had Otis hit a crucial three at the top of the arc.
Yep.
You know, that helped. And then Moore,
I think, with the game on the line, though,
I think you even asked the coach I think it was a 2-point deficit at the time, 6 seconds left. He misses both free throws. I mean, then you're just kind of like, okay, well, this is just isn't going
to
happen.
And coach said, I think he said Fisher, Coach Fisher reminded him to get Jalen in the game for the second free throw. And Jalen came down, he kept the ball alive. And I don't remember who got I think it may have went out of bounds at
something.
It went out of bounds, yeah, because it was an inbounds play.
I was blacking out. Like here and there, my vision was gone, my heart rate.
It is different sitting right on the court. Like you don't get a good full like view of things. You miss things. The refs are standing in front of you. It's not that easy. But either way,
so with time expiring, essentially though, we're running out. They throw it in. They get it to their big man number 43. I forget his name, but he misses one of his free throws, which opens up the possibility of us tying it. We draw up one final play. Otis pretty much pulls all the defenders towards him, and then he dishes the ball off to Jenkins for the easy layup. As time expires,
That was on an out of bounds play, and yeah. we threw it to Otis. Otis is at the top of the key. I was thinking maybe just go for the dagger, right?
Just go for the three. But
right.
they settled
and,
for the two.
And Paulson said that he would have been okay with that three. Go for the win. You know, it's a ballsy shot, but Otis has proven that he can take those shots at that time. What he did very well, and we've seen this since his first public practice, his freshman year. He drove, made a no look bounce pass to an open up. To an open Jalen Jenkins, and Jalen finishes around the rim. It was a great play.
Yeah, he's as good as anybody. So when you look at the numbers, so statistically speaking, we weren't that great from three yesterday. We were actually shooting 29%, 5-17. So if you were to make
And we hit some late threes too, which padded those stats a bit.
So what you're thinking then at that point is you have a 29% chance, essentially, of making a three and winning the game, or you know, you look at our general field goal percentage, which was around 42-43%. Jenkins underneath the rim, though, is about 100%. So yeah. that was a perfect play.
And they didn't really have anyone of size to really shut him down. I thought he would actually do a little bit better than his 10 points, but you know, he's obviously contributes in every play. He's got to guard the biggest guy all the time. So
and then from that point on, so when we tied it up as time expired, the crowd went nuts. It was almost as if we won. I had to take a double take. I was like, did we just win? Because we got loud, the emotion, the team was jumping up and down. And from that point on, you could not stop us.
No,
we were a completely different team. We started OT winning the tip. And from
scored
there,
first.
Yeah, and we outscored them 17-6 in overtime.
And,
so
and Marquise Moore the whole game.
You having another stroke, buddy?
The whole game, he pretty much did what he wanted to. I mean, he finished with 25-19. He flexed his muscles all game long. And so the first play of overtime, what does he do? He goes right to the bucket and scores.
And then flexes.
Right. And then Otis hits a three. And at that point, I mean, game, yeah, set, match.
Right. And then at the end, we were just shooting threes as, you know, whatever. Yeah. But
awesome. I mean,
God, I was so out of it.
Just starting from where we start, like for the beginning of the year, just to see like Jenkins and Marquise Moore get to do interviews with NBC Sports after the game and letting them get some recognition, it makes me feel good inside that these, right, like that we didn't just leave with our heads lowered and be that type of team. So I was excited to see like us, you know, get some positive recognition.
I was also excited to see Marquise Moore pretty much set a rebound record for the arena itself.
Yeah, 19 rebounds. I mean, for a guard.
And then also it's an arena that doesn't really have or house basketball. So, right. I mean, but we'll I could have broken that.
But I mean, he was one away from A-10 tournament record. I guess that's 20.
Right.
And so, I mean, the guy he destroyed the glass. 19 rebounds for
also,
a fucking...
Well, watch the language. Sorry, we have five-year-olds listening.
For a guard, I mean, I was that performance blew me away.
Right. And I think that's also a little bit of him sending a message to the A-10 saying, you know, you want to put me on second team?
Right.
F you.
Yep. And so, by George, is
we did it. Yeah. The dream is still alive.
And we live to see another day. So, just a quick plug. I don't know if you've visited our Twitter at ByGeorgeGMU yet, but we have a bunch of videos from yesterday. We actually have the game tying video. We got some slow-mo videos of Jenkins. And we also have our trip from D.C. to Pitt up there right now. So, go ahead. Check out our content. We'll be here for the next couple of days. It is now 29 degrees. It snowed this morning. Interesting time in Pitt right now. Hopefully, you fans are hopping in your car and making... I mean, there's no better. VCU versus Mason on Friday of the A-10 tournament.
Third
game. I mean, this is
charm.
History right here.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the ultimate revenge game, you know...
Right.
Because just looking back to our old CAA days, we beat VCU in the regular season. They beat us in the tournament. Maybe we flip that script.
Yep.
Maybe we flip it.
And so we'll talk about the Mason game coming up here on our next segment. We're going to break down the rest of the tournament. So stay tuned.
You can flip it.
Coach, I'm just wondering your strategy there after Marquise misses that first free throw. Do you want him to make the free throw? Do you want him to miss it? What's the strategy?
Truthfully, all year long, I told him to do, he did the opposite. So I told him to make it so he'd miss it so we could get the rebound. No, you know what? I told him to make it because there were still 6 seconds left, I think, right? And you know, that's on time. And so we could foul. And, you know, if he makes it, we're down one. You still got time to race it up to the rim. You know, they'd miss some free throws. But we also, and I give credit, like Dane Fisher, you know, said to me, you know, because Jalen had sat for a while as we were pressing and we were going smaller to get Jalen in for the rebound. You know, I got a great staff, and it's like, let's get Jalen in there in case he misses it. And Jalen kept it alive. And then, you know, we ran kind of a special out of bounds play. And I would have been fine, like, if Otis was free for a three, you know, like I had confidence in him to go for the win. And, you know, one of the things somebody said, you know, what has he learned? Like, in a lot of our losses, he has kind of rushed stuff and tried to make a great play. And he was really poised and calm and just made the right play. And so that was really great. And that's not only for us to win tonight's game, but what we have to do if we're going to play better against a really good VCU team tomorrow night.
Okay, breaking down the A-10 tournament, let's talk about some games that happened yesterday.
Let's talk about them. So the first game of the day was LaSalle versus Davidson, which was the 8-9 matchup. You can kind of say that Davidson pulled the quote-unquote upset. they beat LaSalle by 9, big whoop. They're going to head on to and play Dayton today. That's probably going to be Davidson's last game.
Yeah, probably.
Right. So Dayton should win that handedly, but, you know, you never know.
It sounds like that was a pretty good game. We weren't in town yet for that game.
Well, we were. We weren't at the arena.
Well, good point.
I get
but we weren't there, so we don't really know too much about it. From what we heard, we had a chat with the A-10 talk guys. They said that Aldridge owned and Aldridge,
yeah.
And he
put up like 32, I think.
Yeah,
some ridiculous number, but yeah, he's kind of their go-to guy. They're a two-man team essentially with him and Gibbs.
Yeah.
So
it was closer than some.
But Dayton's gonna have
probably wanted, but
Dayton's gonna have the size to control Aldridge. So
right.
Next up would be the St. Bonaventure UMass game, which, you know, on paper, 73-60 looks like it was kind of close, I guess.
Right. But we actually watched that game. It was a blowout.
It was a terrible game.
Yeah, from pretty much start to finish. I think it got a little bit closer at the end when they brought in the backups to play. But
it wasn't a hard decision to fire the UMass coach after that game because they bombed big league.
Yep, and so we clearly touched on George Mason in the first segment.
Let's talk about who St. Bonaventure is going to be playing. They're playing Rhode Island today.
Oh, okay,
so
that's what we're
I think
doing.
That's going to be a nice little matchup. They kind of match up pretty well. They're sort of similar. It's the 4-5 matchup, so that game can kind of go either way.
Yeah, a lot of guard play between those two teams.
I actually almost think that we're talking about like potential down the road type of scenarios. Who do we want to win this game? I think we kind of matched up a little bit better versus Rhode Island for some reason, but
yeah, no, we only played both teams once,
right?
So I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. But
and then obviously our game, which we already recapped, and then, you know, we'll talk about VCU in a little bit. But then the GW and St. Louis game.
I mean, that was just crazy.
St. Louis popped at the beginning.
Yeah, I think what did GW had like 15 points in the first half or something
13.
Stupid.
Yeah. So I mean, the final score is 53-46.
Low scoring game
from GW. They shouldn't have lost that game, so they just kind of did what they were supposed to do, which sets them up for an interesting matchup versus Richmond. This is a scenario in which we hope that that Richmond beats GW. We'd
right.
rather face them. We just match up better versus them. So
yeah, I think the Richmond-GW matchup is interesting because the teams are very different. So they both present matchup nightmares for each other. I kind of favor the size, obviously, so I'm going to probably take GW.
So's your girl. You favor GW. So
I think GW will pull it out.
They both have like dominant 6'8" white guys,
right?
Kavanaugh versus Klein.
It will be a fun matchup to watch.
The big difference will be like, can Watanabe show up? You know, and yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I would rather see Richmond.
Right? Mason's rooting for Richmond.
Right.
That's to say the least. So, so
what about
our game?
VCU.
I mean,
yeah.
VCU.
Hell yeah. Woo! That was forced excitement. That's what that was.
I mean, it is 11 in the morning. So, I mean, we're just kind of wrapping our head around this whole thing anyways. But VCU, I don't want to give a prediction this time because we did last time and our prediction bombed. So we're just going to give you what we think. I mean, the last two games, we lost by
a substantial margin.
I think
but
it was
not
like
much.
It was I think it was like 10.
I think
so. Nine
with the very last game, there was a point where we were down four with a few minutes left. It felt like we were inching back, but again, like Tillman owned us.
Right.
Even
so, we lost by 9 and 12.
But Paulson even talked about Tillman.
Right.
You know.
I mean, Tillman's a matchup nightmare for us.
What did Paulson ask? He's like, unless we can grow overnight.
Yeah.
He acknowledges the lack
right.
of size.
And judging from like. Troy didn't play. Daniel didn't play. I mean, I don't think they're going to see
him. Look at our box score from yesterday. It's a four-score team, essentially. We have four guys that are going to score with Kyer, you know, throwing in a few buckets, and then essentially Ian Boyd coming off the bench.
Yep.
That's our
squad.
We
went to a five-guard lineup, like, immediately yesterday. It right. was wild. So
and Will Wade was taking notes.
Yeah, they were sitting there right next to us.
Yeah, Will Wade was the guy sitting right to the left of me, taking notes.
Yeah. I mean, he was so engaged.
Oh, my God.
Like, people try to talk to him, and he was just kind of like, yeah, I gave him, like, the good to see you, but I'm here for a reason type
right.
look.
And so. His one note was just, he had bolded size. That's all he had written. You just wrote it 100 times on that sheet of paper.
But do I think that anything is possible? Yes.
I think Kevin Garnett does.
I think, you know, let's see what happens. The game tonight's at 6 o'clock.
This evening.
Yeah, it's going to be dark and snowing.
No, it won't.
But,
no, but yeah, I we get it. But VCU, what's going to happen this time?
We
acknowledge that it's going to be a bad matchup. The only way to really do anything different is just shoot better.
Hit the
threes. We're not going to do any sort of roster change here.
Right.
We acknowledge that we're going to
be undersized. In fact, we're playing less guys.
And so we just have to say, look, we have to hit our shots.
So chuck them up.
Plain and simple. I think we were over six first half yesterday for three. Like, we've been terrible in the first half shooting threes.
Shoot the ball. Otis, shoot the ball.
Yeah, it's not setting a great tone. But
no.
Somehow we're still winning these little things.
Right.
We were up at half.
And I think, I mean, we work our ass off on the boards.
Sure.
We play a good half-court defense, even though we always give up a shot. We usually force a bad shot. Sometimes the teams make it, sometimes they don't. But that's the odds that Paulson's playing.
Just to go force back and touch on your we work our ass on the boards quote, Fordham had 22 rebounds, much bigger team. We had 52. That rebounding margin, 30.
Yeah, that's simply insane. So...
It's
but it's because
simple.
We have probably the well, not probably the best rebounding guard in the entire league.
Yeah, I mean the proof's in the pudding here. If you look at the nation's top rebounder, 6'2" and under, Marquise Moore with 10.5. The next closest guy is another 6'2" guy with 7.4. I mean, he's just far and away the best rebounding guard in the league. And hell, he's top 10 in the nation with double doubles. He has 18 this year.
And then add another one to that one from last night.
He has 18 double-doubles, so the most double-doubles by any guard since 2009. So he's third. Marquise Moore, 18. The leader had 20. I mean, Marquise Moore is doing some unprecedented shit right here.
Right.
And he's second team.
And if the refs could give him a couple calls, I'd really appreciate it. Like, I know he obviously gets to the line, but that man is bumped every time he goes to the bucket. So
Keese has his go-to look at the ref after every single drive. He just, like, turns around and gives him that, like, you know, whatever.
So, just to close out our little tournament, you know, we didn't obviously provide you too much information, but we're headed to the game here shortly. We're going to take Dayton. We're going to take – I'm going to take Rhode Island.
Is this your prediction or who we want?
My prediction.
Okay.
I got Davidson, Rhode Island. I'm going to skip the Mason
wait,
game.
You just said Davidson. You have Davidson.
No, Dayton. Dayton.
Okay.
Yep.
And let's then rewind the tape.
I got Rhode Island. I'm going to skip the Mason games. I don't want to make a prediction. And then I think GW is going to have an upset today.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully the rust, you know, the teams that waited a day, maybe they come out a little
hopefully
flat.
Hopefully.
And maybe we're still
we're riding that emotional high.
Right.
If we lose, you can find us at Blush. All right, guys. Talk to you soon. We out.
Bye. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Boys.
Man, did you see her interior?